everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 125 for Thursday, February 14th, 2013. Happy made-up corporate lovey-dovey kiss your neighbor, hug somebody day-ish. It's Valentine's Day.
Such a mean thing.
What?
This is the greatest day ever.
That was romantic.
You know what? Halloween candy is better than Valentine's candy by far. But my kids are just as sugared up, so it doesn't really matter. They've been insane. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. We're back. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host for the podcast and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. We generally do this on Thursday nights. We generally do it live. We missed last week, and the week before was a little weird. But we're back, and things are going to get a little weird next week, too, but we'll get on to that in a minute. So, with us tonight, we have Jerry Heldenbrand from the site.
Howdy, 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 everyone.
And making his debut appearance, so everybody stand up and give him a round of applause or something for, I don't know, showing up. Andrew Martonic.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Andrew, if you haven't noticed, just kind of like kills it in the late afternoon and evenings when I sort of quit working. Killed it in Vegas at CES. If you killed anything we don't know about, don't answer that. That's probably a bad question.
You hide the right things.
So we got the three of us, and we got a whole lot to talk about, and I have a feeling I missed some stuff, so if you guys think of anything that's not in the script, you know, toss it in there. What's going on? I'm sorry we missed last week. I was in meetings and stuff out of town, so we didn't do a podcast, and I totally forgot to put up a reminder, so my fault. Sorry about that.
Yes, it was your fault. Yeah. The people that stayed behind and should have done it and didn't do it are completely blameless.
They are, actually, because I told Alex I would do it, and I didn't do it, so that was my fault. Alex, by the way, had meetings in London today, so he's been traveling all day, so he got the night off. Lucky.
Deserves it.
I know. I could use the night. Well, I had last week off. So, what's going on? Should we, you know, do a podcast or just chat for a while?
We could always just go back to talking about Valentine's Day.
No.
Sounds like you're happy about it.
That's a bad idea, I think. I bought flowers and cards. Made dinner. That's about it. That's it. We're done.
Good choice.
Wow.
Thanks for coming to the podcast, everybody. All right. Let's talk Android 4.2.2. Finally. Yeah, finally, it's here. God, we'd seen this guy, you know, pinging our servers since, what, mid-December? So actually, that's not bad. I mean, 2 months, you know, semi-public testing, I guess. And whatever.
Yeah, you know, they got to eat their own dog food for a while. 2 months.
I mean, 2 months
especially,
since we,
you know.
Yeah.
We assume there's a lot of bug fixes that went on based on what the code changes were. So 2 months is a reasonable amount of time that they took to test them.
I think so. You want to walk through
there
what's new?
Definitely some bugs that needed to be fixed, though, especially with the Nexus 7.
Oh, so, yeah. No,
the it was for people that have been using the Nexus 7, it's 2 months too late, we think, but
it was pretty unusable for a long time. And you know, I mean, I seem to talk about it every podcast, but so far, so good. I have no complaints about how it's holding up. So let's start with the basics. So it's Android 4.2.2. That's, you know, a small point increase. We had 4.2.1 beforehand. It's out now for the Galaxy Nexus and the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 7 and the Nexus 10. That's it, right? Hey, do you guys think Nexus S is done? Probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe they said
it's
that
done.
It's done.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 4.1 is the end of life for the Nexus S.
Yeah, it could be worse. That
makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
It had a good run.
Yeah. So 4.2.2 on those devices, it's not a huge update. I mean, there's not a whole lot of front-facing stuff. The Bluetooth and Wi-Fi buttons in the quick settings are now, you can now long press to toggle, which actually CyanogenMod and probably some of the other ROMs it had for a while, right? And I think that's a good move. I don't see anybody complaining about that. You've got an elapsed time remaining when you're installing apps, when you're downloading apps. Cool. I mean, not a huge deal. Somebody mentioned something today about up buttons. Is that the weird up button in the back left or top left? Doing things.
Yeah. Jerry and I talked about that a little bit last night, actually. I don't know where you heard about it, but we thought it was kind of interesting.
I don't know
what the technical word for that button is, but
it looks like if you open, which one we used, the market.
Mm-hmm.
If you open Google Play, in the top left corner, there's a back button and it has the little icon for the Google Play Store.
Yeah.
And there's also a label there.
Yeah.
On 4.2.1, only the button is a touch target. On 4.2.2, the button and the label are one big touch target. Makes it easier to go back.
All right, see, that's what I thought. Where did my...
And
I'm missing phone.
It's not on a per-app basis because last night in a Hangout, Andrew has two Nexus 4s, one with 4.1 or 4.2.1 and one with 4.2.2, and the same version of an application acts differently on each one. So it's part of 4.2.2.
So it's really, it has to be some kind of change in the way that they're taking the same code, because, and they just say anytime that there's a back button or the top, you know, the back button, just make it include the text next to it as part of the touch target. I'm not really sure how they determine
it. Is the market a bad example? Because I'm looking at it on a Galaxy Nexus and it's the same.
Andrew, what's the other app you tried it in? It's a Holo change, not a app change.
I tried it on Stitcher also, and it was also the case. Anywhere that you had the Holo back button on the top left, the menu next to it also showed up highlighted.
I'm not installing more apps just to try this, but
it doesn't work on your phone on the market.
It looks exactly the same to me on 4.2.1 as it does 4.2.2.
But on 4.2.2, tap the word, the label.
Try again, but... All right.
I can't believe Phil
broke Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, 4.2.1, see if you can see it here on the camera. There's the word, right? AC editors. And I push it, and the whole thing works. I think y'all are crazy. That's what I think.
Well, I knew it because I had the two Nexus 4s with 4.2.1 and 4.2.2 right next to each other, and they act differently. So at first, I thought it was the new version of the Play Store.
Right.
Same Play Store on both.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to tell
you. They're doing something.
You're all nuts.
There's probably a comment in there. If user equals phil.nickinson, not.
Probably. Bluetooth supposedly is better, especially on the GeneX. Like, some of that's subjective. And
that's...
Couldn't have gotten any worse. Both,
but let's Nexus phones and the Bluetooth stack has always been a fluster cluck.
You're going to use that every podcast now, are you?
That's the only way I can say what I think without you yelling at me.
I know. I think we're still getting emails and saying that, though.
So that's well, then I'll say something else. I'll think.
I tell you, I mean... You run through the stories we did. I mean, so that's the big stuff that's new, right? There's some new sound for the Nexus 4 when you wirelessly charge it and, you know, whatever. Great.
I think the big story, too, is the stability fixes.
Yes.
Are just the generic term.
Yeah. And that's the stuff that's, you know, I don't know what they are. Google's not going to say what all it fixed. And anyway, you can go look at the commits if you want, but I don't want to. I just want it to work. Well, I don't. I mean,
well, you're absolutely right. We just want it to work. So,
well, I mean, I want a change log. I think any time, especially on a Nexus device, that they put out an update, there needs to be an official change log from Google, or at least a blog post. You know, something. Hey, we pushed this, or we're about to push this. Here's what it is. I was talking on Google Plus with Chris Lacey, Action Launcher and Tweetlane's developer, about changelogs, and especially with these devices. I mean, for one, I think there's no excuse for not putting out a changelog. If you make a change, you should tell people what it is, period, right? I mean, two, it's a chance to give people proper credit.
Just like you said, a blog post.
And they might still do it this week, right? You start pushing it. You know, the early adopters, the hardcore nerds get on it. And then they say, oh, yeah, by the way, we started pushing this week. If you don't have it, you know, cool Hangout, it's coming. But I
don't consider the update official until late last evening when it actually started rolling out in mass to everybody.
Sure.
So it's not like it's been 3 or 4 days and they haven't said anything yet.
Let me ask you this, because I'm conflicted on how I feel about this. Anytime an update starts pushing, you know, you get the usual, well, you know, clear your Google Apps service, you know, clear the cache, clear the data, force stop it. You might have to do it over and over again, but do that and it will speed up your OTA and it will find it and pull it down. That might well work. I don't know. But especially now with these, to start at ICS or Jelly Bean, I forget which, when as soon as you have the download location for the actual update file, and it's you know, semi-public, right? It's in your logs. You know, once you have it, you can very easily just sideload this on. Because, I mean, in fact, they built in a tool into the stock recovery to do this that didn't used to be there. So, I mean, is there... I want to say there's no excuse for not doing that because it's so easy. But, again, I get that maybe it's not... I mean, for a lot of people who just want to use a Nexus phone because they want to use a Nexus phone, you know, and they don't have the SDK installed and they're not doing ADB, then I get that there is a little bit of a hurdle. But, on the other hand, it's pretty basic stuff, right?
Well, I mean, I think it's basic stuff, but I don't think my wife would think it's very basic
stuff. Right, and neither would mine. And that's why I'm conflicted in the way that I'm thinking about it. Because, I mean, I'm not a... I mean, you guys know me. I'm not a hardcore hacker or developer or anything, but I can do it.
Well, and those people...
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, those people that are going to sideload... I mean, the people that are going to sit there and spam force close on Google Services framework... You know, they're already involved enough that they care. So
right, and honestly,
such an easy set of steps to do ADB side.
Right, and the action of going
in, just need the ADB and fastboot files and just go.
Right, the action of going into your settings and finding the Google the Google app service and stopping it and doing it again and again is such. I mean, it's maybe not physically, but it's mentally more work. And plug it in your phone. I mean, once you have the SDK installed, the SDK is installed, right? Although we'll talk about that in a second. But I mean, it's just so much easier for me to plug in a phone, you know, type two commands, reboot into bootloader or into recovery, you know, and drag the file over, you know, ADB sideload. There's the file. Let it do its thing, and that's it. And I mean, I shouldn't worry about it. If somebody doesn't want to do it, that's fine. But, man, they've just made it so easy. I love it. It's good. I want everybody to try it. You should. And it's so much easier to install the SDK than it used to be, too.
Maybe we need a OTA sideload wonder machine.
I thought about that, actually.
Drop it in a folder, click a button. I'll have to see how much of that can be automated. I enjoy doing that kind of stuff anyway.
Biggest... We'll have to think about that.
The hardest part would be the recovery on the phone has to be done manually. You have to.
No, you just got to reboot into it. We'll figure that out later. I think you could do it. I mean, the hardest thing is, I mean, you should just be able to download it through the app from the URL, but we'll figure that out later. Maybe we'll play with that. And of course, as soon as we do, Google will change something.
Well, I would love to see Google post, here is the update.
Right.
And put it right on the page with the SDK, and yeah. You
go get it.
Yep.
I don't know. The other thing I wanted to talk about, because you know I get my feathers up every time somebody leaves a voicemail that says, "This one's for Jerry." It's kind of technical.
If they only knew.
Well, then there's that. So the Android police guys had noticed there's this new ADB thing, which you know anybody. Who plugs your phone in after getting this update would notice as well. But it you know, it says, hey, you need to accept this RSA key and a bunch of numbers if you want to do anything over ADB. And that's the Android debug bridge. That's the way, you know, the phone and the computer talk to each other for all that cool hacking stuff, right? So, I mean, it's an interesting little security layer, right? And, you know, I got it right. I figured it out all by myself.
You got it perfectly right.
I'm proud of me. No, I mean, it's the thing that I didn't do, this is what I said in the post. I mean, I'm not a hardcore hacker or whatever, so I don't, you know, update my SDK very often because I just don't need to. But if you want to do anything in ADB, you know, whether it's, you know, unlock another phone, you know, whatever it is, at this point, you're going to need to update your SDK. That was my whole point because I hadn't done it in a while. I was like, why isn't anything working? But I figured it out pretty quick. Proud of me. Go me. Yep. Pat myself on the head.
Yeah, you did a good job. That's well, you're probably closer and touch base better with the typical Android user than I do. I mean, let's be honest here. Some of us think differently, and I think you are, you know, more of an average user. Android, you like to mess with things. That's part of it. So you're able to mess with things, and you know how to mess with things.
It goes back to that.
You know, you don't
that post you did a couple weeks ago on the basic ADB commands. And I think for a lot of people, I mean, not everybody. I mean, I don't think this is something you should have to do to like use Android, right? But I think for a lot of people, especially you know, listening to this podcast, you know, we're nerds and we like to tinker a little bit. Like that stuff, you should learn, just on principle. And it's you know, and it's stuff I have to remind myself of every now and then too. I'll ping Jerry in the middle of the night. I'm like, I don't remember how to flash an image. And less of that than I used to have to do. but you know, it's just processes and principles. I think they're good things to know, especially if you've got a Nexus phone. You know, less so if you've got one of the manufacturer devices. But and there's a lot that goes on with that.
If you do have a Nexus, it's just knowing, I mean, literally a dozen fastboot and ADB commands opens up a whole world of stuff that you can handle just with a little bit of setup.
It makes things so much faster. I mean, I don't remember the weird key combinations to reboot into bootloader. I just don't care. I just plug it in, type it in, good to go. And half the time they're plugged in anyway, but I don't know. So that's 4.2.2, I guess. Somebody was trying to say, and I forget where I read this, somebody was trying to say that this will probably be the last update for Jelly Bean before ever, I guess. No. I don't know.
It can't be because there's still some 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi flunkiness going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a dual channel router that'll run both at the same time with a guest account, and I see 5 megahertz Wi-Fi is still pretty flaky. Huh. Sometimes it'll drop, and then it won't pick back up, and you have to restart your phone. I don't see any of that on 2.4, but I've seen it on 5.
I'll to check, because I have one of those new dual-band routers, and I'm not sure if the guest account is the 5 gigahertz or not, so I'll have to check that.
I actually want to say I saw the same thing on mine. Maybe.
Yep, and I've always seen that on every Jelly Bean device. So
let me try right now while we're talking.
That's the first thing I checked when it updated, and it's just not working as good. It works 90% of the time, but that 10% is a big issue.
All right, let's see. I've got mine set to 5 gigahertz only. Isn't this exciting, boys and girls? We're running speed tests on Wi-Fi during the podcast. No. I mean, so that's the majority of 4.2.2. I mean, it's not a huge update. I mean, you're going to see people ripping it apart or whatever, but it's like, all right, you know, cool. I tell you what I'm more excited about, and I almost feel bad saying it, except for it's a Googler who did it. So I want to talk about it, is dash clock widget for the 4.2.2 lock screen. And I've not been it's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yes. I think that it should have probably been part of Android, in my opinion.
I agree. Well, and there's no reason that it couldn't be. I mean, I shouldn't say no reason, but it's open source. So if Google wanted to, I mean, they could totally, steal their guys' code. And that's cool. I mean, for me, it makes the lock screen widgets work, I think, the way they should have. It's just the implementation, and I've said this from the outset, back from November, right? It's something didn't feel right. In normal, you know, the widgets that you have now in Android, the stock widgets, just don't look good on that home screen. The calendar widget's atrocious. But this looks good and it works well and it's extensible. I mean, Falcon Pro put out an extension for it today in their update, and that's how it works, right? You know, in app updates and hey, look, suddenly it works in a dash clock widget. And I've got a couple others on there actually that I like a lot. One is one's a cool battery one, and the other one is
I've got that one, yeah,
a currency converter. So we'll be in Spain, you know, and in a little more than a week. So, you know, I know that the dollar still sucks compared to the euro just by looking down. So that'll help. That's cool.
He put on Roman Newark, the developer. Did we mention that he actually works for Google on Android?
I didn't mention the Android. This guy
knows
he
knows his stuff. He put on Google Plus tonight that a new version coming soon is going to have some more display options.
Yeah, people were freaking out. I like it. I think it's really, really good. I'm excited. Yep,
I like it. Yeah, I mean, I'm using it, and I'm not a widget guy, so I'm using it.
It's good. I'm happy.
I haven't installed it quite yet. So.
Oh, dude, do it now.
Should have been doing that today instead of golfing.
No, golfing's all right, I think. I approve. I'm playing
so long. You old man.
I'm playing so long, I miss it. Do you guys want to talk about the HTC stuff a little bit?
Sure.
They're teasing the hell out of it. And I tell you, I emailed some of the guys I know at HTC this week, and I was like, dude, those teasers are awesome. They're so cool. And although today's was a little freaky. Did you see today's with the big zoomed-in eyeball?
Yeah.
That was...
I want to see how that plays in with the bionic heart.
Yeah, that one was really weird. That came out of Germany last week, and I don't think we've seen it anywhere else. I don't know what to say about that one. That was just odd. Maybe that's a weird regional thing. The other one I really liked was yesterday. The metallic thing that had the HTC logo, and then February 19th date. Watch this. You want to see something?
Yep.
Watch your camera.
I really hope that 19th date. I mean, I'm everybody is sure, and I am too, that they're actually going to show us this thing and tell us about it. I hope on the 19th they have somebody from the carrier stand up and say, and you'll have it in blank blank. And I hope it's April or something, nothing later than that.
No, April would be late.
If they need a month, I won't complain too much.
Yeah.
You know, I'd prefer to see it next week, but I definitely won't see it.
That metallic one that I was talking about, here's what it is. Because I said on Google Plus, it's like, I think I know what that is. I think I have one. It's actually where's the phone? It's a tripod mount for the 1X. So this part goes into a tripod, and it holds the phone. It's actually really cool. They gave us one a while back. So that's what that was. So, no, this is not an M7 or whatever. It's a cool tripod mount. That was a really neat way to do the teaser, though, I thought. We've seen those videos. If you go to HTC.com, there's a countdown clock that has like little videos in the background, and you could get glimpses of something in the HTC logo. So, I mean, that was cool. I thought it was well done. Very, very lens flashy. Very J.J. Abrams. Did you guys see anything in that at all? I mean, I look at it like logos flashing by.
I watched it in as slow motion as I could watch it, and it makes that picture that EV Leaks put up kind of ring true. There's some elements you can see, the color and the way the bezel is around the front glass.
Mm-hmm.
But it really doesn't give anything away, I don't think.
I thought it was a really good teaser. I mean, like it shows you just enough to make you think you see something.
Right.
But then it's like, it's just a little.
Well, and if EV Leaks hadn't have put out that render, we wouldn't have known anything about it except, oh my God, it's white. It's cool. We got to have one.
Yeah.
And we're trying to compare it to a render that may or may not be correct.
Right. I mean, go back to that post Alex did for the, it was one of those early M7 ones, wasn't it? Where Alex had, went back and said, look, here's some other renders, we've seen come out mm-hmm. that just didn't turn out. And I go back to those meetings I had with HTC months ago where they showed us prototypes and, phones that just didn't ever come out, just things like that. So, something to keep in mind.
I don't want to say that they're betting the company on this, but they have enough invested in this that I'm sure they looked at more than one prototype.
Oh, no. I mean, they'll tell you that. That's just part of the process for any phone, not just for HTC or Samsung or whoever. Like, that's the process. There are mock-ups, and there are design changes, and there are, various stages of production. So, again, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, when you see leaks or... whatever. Like, at this point, I have no idea what part of the process you might be seeing. And it's interesting. It's fun. Mm-hmm. And especially, I mean, God, there's so much goes into this stuff, right? I mean, it's just incredible that any of it works. So yeah, we're going to have, I'll be in New York next week. I'll be in New York on Tuesday morning. Alex will be in London. I guess it'll be Tuesday afternoon in London. I think they're doing something in Sydney. I think Austroid did a post on that. They're doing some sort of
event. I'll go.
Yeah, right. So it's going to be nuts. It's going to be, I don't think we've done simultaneous events on two continents before.
No,
I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to do it.
The night.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
Well, I think we could have dueling live blogs.
Should we do one or two? We got to figure that out. I think we'll probably just do one.
Probably. Yeah. Find out where the big guy is and do it from there.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. Anything else rumor-wise about that you guys want to talk about?
Not necessarily rumor-wise, but it's important for us all to remember when we watch this that HTC is really trying to reinvent themselves here. And
do they have to?
I don't think they have to, but if their current path continues the way their last year path went, then yeah, they will have to eventually. So maybe they saw the way profits looked last year and everybody says, oh, HTC is going under. Well, HTC is still making money. Mm-hmm. So they're not going anywhere.
Right.
But if they want to make big money, they saw some things they got to change. So I'm looking for that sort of change. I'm looking for, you know, six different models, but they all have the same case and they all have the same name. That kind of unifying stuff. So if you go buy one from AT&T, you pretty much have the feeling that you've got the same phone as your friend who bought one from Sprint. And that means all the accessories are going to work. And, you know, that's the important stuff I think we're going to see. Not to discount anything on the phone, because I just get the feeling that it's going to be an out-of-the-park home run.
And I think it's just interesting because HTC made some of their best products last year. Mm. And you could probably say that last year was not as good of a year as the year as 2011. And 2011, from a product portfolio standpoint, wasn't exactly HTC's home run. So it'll be interesting to see what they could.
Yeah, 2011 was real tough for a lot of people, I think. And not just HTC, but, you know, Motorola had the Bionic debacle. And so I mean, we're kind of night and day over that, right?
Right. But yeah, I can see what Andrew's saying. The 1X Plus, my God, that was an awful nice phone. I can't understand why they didn't sell 5 million of them.
Right.
And that's what I think they're going to focus on is better marketing and brand recognition. And they're going to have this kick-ass phone to, you know, put it all behind. So I'm excited.
So Tuesday morning, check back.
Yep.
We will be all over it. As only we can do, I think.
We do good at it.
Did you guys see this Qualcomm thing this morning? I thought that was really interesting. And I can't believe we didn't know about this already. But basically they have this thing called Quick Charge that has made essentially the 2012 crop of Qualcomm powered devices charge 40% faster than phones that don't have it. I'm not sure if 40% is quite enough to make a noticeable. I mean, it should, but like you put a phone down to charge.
I think that'd be pretty notable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what they're saying, but it's easy to find out. Phil, drain your Galaxy Nexus and your Nexus 4 at the same time and plug them in side by side.
Right.
It's what I'm seeing does not jibe with what Qualcomm's saying in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, really?
But that's something I'm doing wrong. Hmm. You know, I don't know. But it's. I think a lot of that has to do with the better ARM support in the Linux kernel, because I know Qualcomm was working, you know, on the kernel and submitting code to help that.
Right.
So this is only going to get better.
What I thought was interesting was the name of it, Quick Charge 1.0. Does that kind of imply anything?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? That we should see that makes it sound like that this is just version one. Be ready for even more, doesn't it?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, we'll see. Right. But I mean, this is all they said. And, I mean, it's on 70 devices, and these are not small devices, right? These, you know,
right.
from the Droid DNA on back, including Nokia. And I mean, in every manufacturer, right? Acer, Asus, Casio, forgetting that Casio makes devices, Fujitsu, HTC, Huawei, Kyocera, LG, Motorola, Nokia, Panasonic, Pantech, Samsung. Oops. Oh, man, I screwed up a bullet point. Nobody yelled at me again. Sharp, Sony, ZTE. So, you know, everybody's got it. It's a huge thing.
But, you know, going back to how well it works, the Galaxy S3s here in the States have it. The Galaxy S3 that's not here in the States doesn't have it. And I'm not hearing all over the internet about how much faster the U.S. versions charge
right.
than the European versions. So right. I'm not sure.
If it was
sure.
actually 40%, you'd think that we would have kind of figured this out already.
Maybe.
So I don't know. I'm not going to knock the guys. They do hard, good work. You know, that's something that maybe we're doing wrong. We're power-using nerds.
Right.
Maybe you've got to use the right charger instead of that 2-amp Asus charger I use to charge all my phones.
Man, I mean, and I'm paying more attention to that these days because I forgot while I was on the road last week, I had my 2-amp little battery charger with a LED light in it. That's just awesome. I forgot how good that is to have. Google Now got a pretty sizable update this week, too. It was we had somebody tipped us to a support page on Google that said, you know, mentioned widgets and lock screen widgets and home screen widgets. And then was it today or yesterday they came out? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
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 So now you've got Google Now widgets. They're oddly sized.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Depending Something's, on the number of cards that they're
Yeah, and you can resize them like you can normal widgets, but like the widget, it's the content of the widget itself is like a weird half size. It's really bizarre. I've heard a couple people say the widgets are disappearing. Jerry thinks it might be just, you know, there's no content for them, but man, I mean, the size is just so odd. It's bizarre. I'm not going to use it.
I want the widget. I've got the widget on my home screen, of course, while I'm looking at it, playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the widget. I want to be able to tell it which cards I want displayed.
Right.
I don't care about Red Hat stock on my home screen. not when, you know, if I go down one or two cards, it's got my next calendar appointment or, you know, what's going on locally. I care a lot more about that than Red Hat stock.
Yeah.
The only way I can bump it up is to swipe Red Hat stock away. And I don't want to do that because I want Red Hat stock numbers to be in my Google Now when I go there.
Right.
So there's some work that needs done on that widget.
Like you need a way to have the widget separate from Google Now itself, is what you're saying?
I'm saying my biggest thing is when I put the widget, it should allow me a choice of which cards to display.
Sure.
And if that means that it has to make those cards persistent in Google Now – you know, let's tell it I want to – yesterday all of ours had Chris Parsons' birthday on there. Happy birthday, Chris. Let's say I want to make the birthday card, always display. That's going to be – you know, they're going to have to do something when nobody on my contact list has a birthday that day, yet I still want that to show on the widget. And it's going to take some, some code changing. And this is just version one of the widget anyway. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
The I woke up this morning and saw we have Google Doodles now, which is awesome. Like, that's a long time coming, I think.
Yeah, that's a server-side thing.
Right.
Some people have had that for about a month.
Oh, really?
And some people still don't have it. But it seems like that late last night, it just rolled out to a huge group of people all of a sudden.
Oh, I hadn't heard anything till this morning when I got up and saw it.
Eileen Rivera, about a month ago.
Oh, did she have it?
She first noticed it.
Eileen used to be with Twit and All About Android. Now she's
I hadn't heard anything about it since then.
So. Yeah. No, Eileen was with Twit and All About Android. Now she's works for Google YouTube. So interesting.
Right.
And Eileen's awesome. If you don't know her,
so I think it's one of those things where they, well, that's how Google does all theirs. They trickle out a little bit,
right?
And then they stop. And it's, well, they did something with Gmail that I was pitching a fit about what happened to my Gmail. Oh, when they put themes out there, I was, you know, what the heck happened to my Gmail? I don't know what's going on. Mm. And then I find out that a few accounts, you know, X number of thousands got to try this. And if you like it or don't like it, they take your feedback before they roll it to everybody. And I'm sure that's what they did with the doodles in Google Now. Although I can't see anybody not liking that.
Yeah. I thought it was cool. I'm a little disappointed I didn't know about it before. Why didn't anybody tell me? What the hell are you guys doing out there?
I
probably ignored it.
I don't know.
It's probably like, you guys are nuts. What are you talking about?
Well, no, I think it was. It only became important today now that everybody can see one.
Right. Well, now that I get it, it's important, I think.
That's right.
Really, is what it comes to.
If user equals Phil.Nicholson.
Hey, speaking of cool things, the Nexus 4 charging orb, the wireless charging orb that I don't think was ever actually announced. I can't remember. But anyway, you can buy one now, so I've got five on the way here. And, oh, I need to check. Supposedly they've shipped, so I don't think I'll have it tomorrow. Probably won't be
here. Everyone else is saying tomorrow. Mine will be here tomorrow.
Will it?
Yep, so you better check right now.
I'm looking right now. Well, I got my shipping announcement, but you know how Google does it. Like, you get your this item has shipped when they create the label.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually something I had ordered on the... Let's see. Ooh, here it comes. I'll have it tomorrow. Cool. So it'll be a race to see who unboxes theirs first. So
well, it'll be you. I probably won't get mine till about 6.
I tell you what I'm going to do though. Maybe I'll send these to you since I'll be gone for the next 2 weeks. So we bought 5, so we're going to give a bunch away. So be on the lookout for that.
So we'll have to think of interesting ways to give those away.
Electrocution.
It's charming. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Cool. Cool, I got toys to play with tomorrow. I'm excited. I like toys. Man, I've been twitchy because we haven't had new phones in so long.
So I'm what we ought to do, Phil, since... Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in Canada or Europe, you should be able to win one of these from us.
Yeah?
That's the only way you can get one is win it from Android Central.
Oh, that's true. Well, then we'll leave it open to everybody.
Why wouldn't we? Cool. It'll be a worldwide deal. I like it.
That sucks. You can't buy them anywhere. That's kind of all I had to talk about. We got 7 voicemails I want to go through since we're behind on those, and they're all really good. I listened to them again today. I listened to most of them again today. So if there's one that's bad, I didn't listen to it. But anything else you guys want to talk about that we haven't yet? No? Okay. Well, let's just do voicemails then. All 7 of them. 7 voicemails. Count them. 7. It's a lot.
Counting.
All right, so let's start with Renee, if you're ready. Let's start with Bryce.
Hello, my name's Bryce Cooley. I'm a new listener, and I'm trying to get away from my iPhone. I've had it for 2.5 years, and finally the front and back screen are now shattered. And I really feel like iOS has stagnated a lot in the past 2 years. It really hasn't changed. It just added minimal things. Meanwhile, Android, which I used to think was clunky, has kind of passed iOS pointing and laughing. And so I am thinking of switching over to Android to give it a try. My goal is to find the best contract-free phone that can support all the updates that Google releases. What I've been told, this is mostly the Nexus line, which is pretty hard to get a hold of currently, at least the Nexus 4. I was told by a friend of mine who's way into Android that there's something called the Cyanogen mod. I have no idea if I'm saying that right, but it has to do with rooting your phone and gives just about any phone the ability to get updates. Again, I'm not sure if that's true, so figured if you could let me know, that'd be great. I've heard a lot about the Sony Xperia Z recently, so I was thinking maybe I could get that, root it with CyanogenMod mod, and get Jelly Bean 4.2.1 on it. But again, I don't know if that's possible. If you can help out, that would be great. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your podcast. Just started listening 2 weeks ago, so I can go into the Android world not an idiot. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Oh, don't worry. We're idiots.
All idiots are welcome.
So, I mean, that's some good basic stuff there. So, actually, I mean, the good news is you can get a Nexus 4 pretty easily now. I just got a new shipment in today for one of the contests we're doing. And I ordered them on the 8th, I think. And then they shipped 2 days ago and just got here. So, I mean, a week, that's not bad, right? So that's the good news. So if you want to try Nexus 4, I still highly recommend it. I'm still very much enjoying mine. And we are up to Android 4.2.2, so that's pretty quick. Jerry, you want to walk them through what CyanogenMod is and why you might want to try it?
Yes, CyanogenMod is... The thing to remember about Android is nothing but a bunch of code. You have to assemble it and build it yourself and flash it onto your phone. Stock Android devices come with that code the way it's written. Samsung and HTC and others, including CyanogenMod, they take this code and they build it and they customize it sometimes a little bit, like CyanogenMod, sometimes a lot, like Samsung. And they deliver a package that you can flash to your phone, provided that your phone is sufficiently unlocked and not SIM unlocked. You need to be able to either have an unlocked bootloader or have a method to bypass the locked bootloader and have super user permissions on your phone, which to, you know, Bryce, that's like jailbreaking. It's a good choice, especially if you are a Verizon or Sprint user, or if you need to have LTE. You can go get a Samsung Galaxy S3, which is a fine choice for a phone, and root the phone, which means jailbreak it. And that's, I'm not going to say that's easy, but it's very well explained in a whole bunch of places, and a lot of people will be happy to help you. And once that's done, you download this CyanogenMod package and store it on your phone, and you boot into the phone's recovery, which is a mode that you can change all the software, and you'll install this CyanogenMod package, and your phone will be very close to stock Android with a few tweaks and customizations that users all seem to like. Not the fluff, not the crazy stuff that makes it take ages to update. I consider CyanogenMod an Android vendor on the same level as Samsung or HTC. Those guys know their stuff. Those guys are professional. They're not getting paid for it, but they code at a professional level, and they deliver a fine stock-ish Android experience for most phones. The one thing that you do need to be clear about is any phone is not quite correct. Before you're thinking about purchasing a phone, you might want to do a search of various Android websites. Android Central is a great place to start. And see if the phone that you're thinking of is able to be unlocked and run CyanogenMod. If it's not, you're not going to have the experience you're looking for. How's that work, Bill?
No, that's good. And I go back and forth using it sometimes. And I tell you, that's one of the things I love about having a Nexus phone. It's just so easy to bounce back and forth between stuff like that. If you want to try it, cool. If you don't want to try it, that's fine too. Yeah, I mean, I have no reason to not try. And some of the other ROMs out there have gotten really good as well, the AKO stuff. And you know,
CyanogenMod is the gold standard.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the rest aren't great and up to that standard as well.
And some really interesting things going on. And I wish we paid a little more attention to all of them out there, because there's really interesting stuff, right? The Xperia Z. Andrew, did you get to use the Xperia Z in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I got to poke around on it quite a bit, actually.
What'd you think?
I think it's really nice. From a hardware standpoint, it's beautiful. I guess that's the best way to describe it. It's typical Sony design. Mm-hmm. On the software side, it's not as bad as I remember Sony software being. I guess Alex gave me a little bit of trouble for that because I
he's used them more than we have. Yeah.
Bad, but it was actually really nice, and I would recommend it if you were looking to spend a good bit of money on an unboxed phone. It's right up there for me.
Honestly. Still have no idea when that's coming to the U.S. though.
If at all, that you know, we talked to the same people there, and you know, they kind of were like, "Your guess is as good as mine."
Oh yeah, no, they don't know.
I think Sony should send me one so I can experience it, and then I'll give it away to one of you listeners, so at least two people here in North America can know what it's like.
Yeah, that's all the basics on that, I think. Good question.
I think the Nexus 4 is, I mean, if you're planning on buying unlocked and the price is a factor, it's kind of a no-brainer.
As well as ease of purchase. I was talking to some people about that last week. I mean, it's different because you can't go out and try one first, although I guess you can if you find a T-Mobile store. But God, I hate going to carrier stores. I hate it so bad. I really hate it.
You and me both.
Did I mention I'm not a fan? All right, let's move on to...
You coming. They know. If customer equals Phil.Nickinson, that's the way the world works.
All right, let's move on to the next voicemail and go to Elwood.
Hi, my name is Elwood. This is for the Android Central podcast. What's going on, you guys? How's everything doing? How's everything going? I just have a couple questions real quick. Do you ever think Google will ever get the frame rate issues right on Android? For example, what I mean is like, let's say you're playing a game and, the frame rate always seems to drop. And it's like skips, you know, and stuff like that, making it almost unplayable or unenjoyable at some points when it continues to happen. And one more question. Do you think that Verizon Galaxy Nexus would ever get the update at some point, even though it's at the end of life stage or the end of life list? Thanks. Y'all doing a good job. Thank you a lot.
I had to remind some people this week, and I've railed about this before, there's no like official end of life list, like public facing. You get these leaks every now and then from a carrier, an operator that says, yeah, these phones are end of life. And it's been a while since we've seen those, but generally, and not always the case, every now and then you'll see like a weird announcement, but generally there's not some public message that says, hey, we've got this phone and we're done with it. We're going to quit selling it. We're not going to support it anymore. Like, you just don't see that. So keep that in mind. And Verizon's not actually said, you know, we're not supporting, you know, the Galaxy Nexus anymore. They just quit selling it. I mean, that said, they kind of quit supporting it a while ago. I hate to say it because it makes me sad, but I don't think it's going to get updated unless there's like some serious security thing. I see them just letting it rot. Tell me I'm wrong.
You know what? If I had a Verizon Galaxy Nexus, I would march into that damn store and I would put it on the counter and I would tell them, you fix the radio in this thing or you give me another phone today. And the sheriff would escort me out if I didn't have a new phone.
Would you like to buy a nice iPhone?
A lot of people have done that because they're aware of the major radio issues.
What they have done to that phone is absolutely ridiculous, and they deserve every single little bit of rage all these people on the internet have towards them. It's a shame,
especially with as long
damn
as
good phone.
You for as many, as many Nexus devices that Verizon didn't get, and remember, Verizon was supposed to have one of the original ones.
Yep, and I just and nobody said anything, but I think the root cause of they just stopped updating and doing anything is because they can't get the radio issues sorted out, and that's not fair. You know, the radio is still going to suck. Why not give everybody the rest of the update?
Yeah.
Right. Leave the radio out of it if you can't figure it out.
They make for good Wi-Fi devices.
I mean, right now at this point, I think they should just do a mass recall. Everybody come in, get your free Razor, and be done with it. Or, you know, whatever phone they decide to offer. That's the only way that it can be fixed. And I hate to use the word
they've offered that to people that they don't even stop replacing them with Galaxy Nexuses, and they said pick out your S3 or pick out your Razr because you've come in here four times because the phone will latch on LTE.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to pick on just the Galaxy Nexus. I think the same thing could have been said about the Thunderbolt.
True.
That's part of growing pains. And I'm sure somewhere in a technical dungeon somewhere in Verizon's offices, there's guys that realize that these phones, the version one, are going to be lots of problems and not be very satisfactory. So, I, you know, maybe I'm the wrong guys to ask, though.
It sucks. It pains me.
Yep.
All right, let's move to, what are we up to? Harry.
Hi, this is Harry. My question is probably directed more at Jerry because it's kind of technical. No offense, Phil or Alex.
Fine.
Or anybody else who happens to be visiting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Galaxy Note 2, which I absolutely love. I also have a 64 gigabyte micro SD card in it. And I noticed that there's no way to transfer apps and other files from the SD storage on the phone itself to the external SD card. And I'm wondering if there's an app available that would help me, or if you guys know of a way to do it on your own. Thanks. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work, guys. Bye.
Look, I totally know the answer to that, and I'm going to let Jerry answer it.
Go for it, Bill.
No, okay. you haven't gotten to talk a lot tonight. So you go ahead. I could do this.
Root your phone. And the chat room's going to have to help me because I don't know the name of the app. But if you root your phone, there's an app in the market that you can install that allows you to move, actually swap the link to SD. Thank you, Cole. It makes the 16 gigabyte storage you have inside your phone now and your 64 gigabyte card swap places. And you now have 64 gigabytes of what the phone thinks is internal storage. And it works really well. Everybody is, you know, everyone does it. It, you know, a little bit of wear and tear on your SD card, but that's to be expected. You know, that's it. It's that simple, but it does involve rooting your phone.
You guys didn't see me typing the answer to Jerry under here, by the way. But
I totally that's right. I have a little teleprompter beside me.
Cool. Good fix. I didn't know that one, actually. All right. Our old pal, John Paul, is back.
Hey, fellas, this is Jean-Paul in the forums, calling for the Android Central Podcast. I have a question for Jerry. Last week, he talked about how much he loved the Carbon Backup app, how simple it is to use, you know, grandma can use to take the computer out of the equation, all kind of good stuff. But I guess I was kind of surprised because I previously heard Jerry rant about how he does not like titanium backup, how you shouldn't mix old data with new data, et cetera. And I guess I was wondering, you know, what the difference is, what the disconnect is. Is Carbon doing something better than titanium backup? Doesn't matter what you're using it for, et cetera. Anyway, if you guys could respond to that, I'd love to know. Thanks. Bye.
All right. I was totally going to answer this one, too.
I do not like backup apps. You're absolutely correct. I don't want to restore old data on top of new. That's me. I don't do it. The reason I like Carbon so much better than titanium, it's simple. You don't need root. There are a lot of people that can't or don't want to root their phones, and now they have a backup solution. You know, it's pretty slick. I understand the way he does it, and it's not the most user-friendly. You have to connect to your PC, but that is a necessary step, you know, to make it work. But anybody, my wife uses Carbon to save the, you know, her game saves. My wife couldn't use titanium because she doesn't want to root her phone and worry about, you know, what's this pop-up that says deny or grant and all this other stuff. She doesn't care. She doesn't want to, but now she can save her game data. And that's why I like it. Little things. The UI is really good on it.
Mm-hmm.
Titanium Backup is a great app, but the UI is a little confusing, but that's all. The only reason I have is, to me, it's very important if you can make a an app for people to use and not have to be rooted is always a good thing.
Are you using it yet, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you guys can still hear me. My connection's pretty trashy, but yeah, I wrote up something on the site about it, kind of put it through its paces in my own usage, and it's worked fine. I completely wiped my Nexus 4 last night. I was having some issues with the update, so I just wiped it out and I used Carbon to back up and restore, and it worked perfectly for me. So I can understand if you're not a big fan of backup, but it's just the built-in ADB backup. So it's something that Google built the tool, and Carbon's just a UI up front of it. So I think it's fantastic.
Agree. Let's go to...
Real quick.
Yes.
We're not knocking Titanium.
No.
The guy who wrote Titanium did a wonderful thing long before Google ever invented it. So
years ago.
All credit to him, too, as well.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Ramon.
Hey, guys. This is Ramon M2 from the Android Central forums. I just have a question. I mean, I was always wondering how you guys feel, because I've had about a year and a half now, a little over a year and a half, with my Samsung Galaxy S2 Epic 4G Touch on Sprint. And I'm starting to feel like my phone is just not doing what it's supposed to be doing. I get force closes every once in a while, lag. I feel like I'm just having issues after issues. And I've tried a factory reset. I've, you know, rooted my phone and you know, I feel like I've done everything that I could kind of keep this phone up and running, but I just feel like this is really starting to turn into a POS, and I don't know what to do. And I'm starting to see phones like the Galaxy S3, the Note 2, the Nexus 4. From a general consumer, I want to say, is this how I should start to feel around the year and a half mark, getting close to my, you know, 2-year contract, time to renew, time to upgrade? Or is it just me? I know you guys kind of go through phones as quickly as, you know, as possible to move on to the next, you know, the next thing. But do you guys ever get, you know, these type of feelings, or am I just going kind of crazy? Is the Galaxy S2, you know, still a relevant phone, or should I just start, you know, looking at what I can do to upgrade my phone? You know, I'd like to hear you guys' opinion. Thanks very much. Have a good one.
I get all sorts of funny feelings about my phones. You're not the only one. It's okay. It's perfectly natural.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got an old laptop with a Pentium 2 300 in it and 1 gig of RAM. And it looks really good. And you turn it on and it runs Windows 2000 really good. But it won't do much after that because its hardware is dated. I hate to say that an 18-month-old phone has dated hardware, but, I mean, the thing I could suggest is unroot it, flash it back to complete stock out of the box, and only install the apps you used to install 18 months ago that made you happy and see if it still runs the same.
That was going to be my point, is that for an 18-month phone, the Galaxy S2 is, as far as an old phone goes, that's probably about as you know, good as you're going to get as far as the hardware holding up to the time. But I was going to say that if you were doing the exact same things that you were doing 18 months ago, you probably would notice. But, you know, applications have started to use more resources and you've learned your phone a bit more and you're doing more now. And it's just, it's notable now that you're using applications that wouldn't have been possible at least a year ago.
Bit rot, right? I mean, we get it on Android too, right?
Yeah. Well, and for the longest time, let's face it, we had to overspec Android phones to make the UI run acceptably. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to admit that. So there's always been a spec race, and when you give developers a platform that has specs that are as good as a laptop was 5 years ago, let's be honest, these things are way overspec'd. A lot of guys are going to think of ways to write apps that use a lot of that, and if you don't have it, you're going to notice it. That being said, I've got a little HTC Wildfire here that if all I want to do is call and text somebody and check my email, it runs great.
Every time I fire up my Nexus One.
Yep.
Every time. No, Adobe, I don't want to update anything.
Update, do it, click it.
I don't want to update Flash Player right now. That's insane. All right, let's listen to Wesley's voicemail.
Hello, my name is Wesley Foster. I'm listening to Android Central on a podcast that I pick up off the local Wi-Fi from the library. I'm listening to all your old shows and all your current shows. I'm looking for information on an Android device with extensively long battery life. My main problem is just simply battery life. Wi-Fi connection is secondary. What I'm looking for is something that functions as long as an ebook for multiple days, primarily audio only, and I'm looking for something that will function as an internet radio or a long-term podcaster. And what I'd like also is ebook capability with possible solar charging. In other words, I'd like to be able to leave it under a light bulb and have it charge off the light bulb in any country I'm in, rather than plug it in. I was wondering if there's any model that could do that, or is there any particular model that has a very long battery life? Thank you very much. Thank you.
Galaxy Note.
Wesley don't want much, does he?
No, I know. Galaxy Note, I think. I mean, if you want something that's going to look and feel a little more like an e-reader, that's the way to go right now.
But days worth of battery life,
you're not going to
get that from anything with cellular radio.
Yeah, it's just
not going to happen.
But the Galaxy Note gives you kind of that e-reader size and feel with a big-ass battery, right?
Yep.
I mean, for solar charging, you're going to need, you know, they make solar chargers. I have no idea how good they are. But I mean, it's not going to be built into the phone, right? It'll just be a separate charger you use. It's an interesting idea, actually.
My solution would be to get an external, I mean, it's not very easy, but an external battery pack that would, you know, possibly be a solar charger,
right,
or something, because you're going to want to use that solar, store it in a battery, and then charge it up when you need it. So something like that is going to be good for travel.
The chat room is going to have to help me out, but Samsung made a phone for Sprint that had a QWERTY front-facing keyboard.
Oh, I used it. No, I remember that one. I saw they had it had a solar charger they showed us. Oh, man, what was that? I remember the bar, too. I was there when I saw it.
Thank you, Matt and Grant. I think that's Grant. Thank you, gentlemen. The Replenish.
Yes. Good name for it,
too. That technology needs to be investigated a little bit more.
Not going to happen, but okay.
But come on, it should. Whether it will or won't, it should.
Well, that was the thing. That was at CES this year. Is there's that company that makes the screen solar.
Right.
And they're up to something like 90% is clear visibility as an LCD screen, but it has solar panel integrated in it. So maybe in the future.
Good question. That was a really good question. But yeah, I would do Note, I think. All right, finally, we have Will.
Hi, this is Will, calling for the Android Central podcast. I am calling with more of a request than a question. I was wondering if at some point you guys could talk about Android's compatibility with external audio gear, like receivers for speakers and digital-to-analog converters and headphone rigs. Disregarding MHL, currently the only way to get audio out of an Android device and into an external audio device is through the 3.5mm port, which doesn't always have the best amplification and analog conversion, and Bluetooth, which we all know how great quality Bluetooth is. The easiest solution to this connectivity issue would be to send digital audio out through the USB port, but Google currently hasn't built that into Android. And it's actually been, we thought that it was going to work in Ice Cream Sandwich, and it didn't, and they promised it in Jelly Bean, and it only works with certain accessories. And it's number 5 on Google's code issue list, and it works with the Galaxy S3 because Samsung did it, and you can get kernels, and the kernels sometimes work, but you have to reboot your device, and it's a mess. So you guys are always super smart and well-informed, and you guys form strong opinions, and I love to hear you guys chat about Android and everything else. So if at some point you could talk about Android and external audio gear, that would be awesome. Jerry, Phil, Alex, until next time. Thanks.
That is a hell of a question.
I don't know if it was the hero or the Magic or the Dream, but HTC has done that since the beginning. I think they stopped. He mentioned Samsung does it, but stock Android's not doing it. That, to me, points towards a licensing and redistribution issue.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see it too. I want everybody to be able to do anything they want to do with these little computers we carry in our pocket. But if there is some sort of licensing and redistribution issue that, you know, they're not allowed to use the bits that are proprietary and redistribute them, don't look like, you know, that's going to happen for a stock Android from Google device. And that's just how that goes. I mean, that's why the Bluetooth stack sucks on Nexus phones and tablets, because they can't do the same things that Samsung does.
Right.
Because it's not free. So I'm thinking that a lot of it is because of that. But I'm not a sound engineer. I get the impression that Will is a sound engineer. And to be honest, he probably knows as much about it as anybody that's not writing code for Android does. It's just nothing that they're not telling us. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he knows the phones to look for, right? Samsung did it.
Right.
HTC obviously has looked a lot more at audio, you know, especially with the whole Beats thing.
You remember those mini USB plugs that put out audio for, I think it was the Dream that started that for HTC phones? They did that for a while.
That goes back to Windows Mobile, doesn't it? They had those weird, what were they called? Something XT, UXT? I forget what they were. Just bizarre, you know.
And back then, we all were screaming we wanted headphone jacks instead.
Right.
So, I mean, it's certainly electronically able to be done. Apple's doing it. Some Android vendors are doing it. This would be an awesome thing for Sony to do. Sony's a name you think of when you think audio and, you know, let's get to it. But
so picky.
I really don't see that in stock Android. I'm just guessing, but I think there's going to be some sort of licensing issue at play.
I think you're right. That generally is what it points to, I think.
Yep. A fellow from Mountain View quoted me just not too long ago that most of the time the things that we all want and don't get, it's not because of technical issues.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like I say this every week. I've already said it once tonight. But there's so much that goes into this stuff. It's just astounding that we ever get these cool toys to play with. I mean, if you know, just half the stuff I've forgotten, it's just like, okay, cool. Thanks for giving me what I got here, because I'm going to appreciate it a little more.
I almost forgot iRig. The people that make the guitar amp and mm-hmm. the microphone and stuff for iOS products, they are bringing out an Android line. Don't know a lot of information about it. They just sent me this thing in my email to look for it. It's coming, and it had a picture of this stuff. As that gets closer, I'm sure we'll all know more news about that. So maybe there's some sort of breakthrough, or maybe it only is going to work with Samsung or HTC phones too. I don't know.
Cool. I only got one email on here, but it was important, and I want us to read it. Leo writes, Android 4.2's code was dropped a while ago, yet zero devices outside the Nexus program are launching with it or updating to it. I feel like this isn't the same slow uptake as usual. Companies seem to be actively avoiding talking about 4.2 in favor of 4.1. Why is this, and do you think companies will skip 4.2 since they're marketed under the same code name? I don't think they'll skip it just because it has the same name. I mean, we've seen that done before, right? But I don't know. It's a good question. And, I mean, part of it, I have to wonder, is it just because the 4.2 code, the original, you know, 4.2.1 code was kind of janky? I mean, at least to me, it seemed, you know, my untrained eye, and what the hell do I know? But, I mean, it just seemed like not quite there. Or is it just the usual timing thing where, you know, you have to pick something to target and that's what you start working for, and, you know, you gotta pull the trigger at some point?
You know, I would be surprised if they were actively avoiding it. I'm not really sure what the motivation
is. I wouldn't. I this is all a guess. I want to preface this knowing the little bit I know because we work with Android every day and how the code changes and updates are coming out.
Right.
If I owned a company that built smartphones that ran Android, there's no way in hell I would have put Android 4.2.1 on my phones. But I would have known ahead of time that I was never going to put 4.2.1 on my phone. When Android releases a 4.2.whatever that's generally recognized as being stable, complete, and great, then I'll target it and put it on my new phones. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm sticking with Ice Cream Sandwich because it works.
And we need to think back. I mean, what all is in 4.2 that you don't get in 4.1 right now?
Lock screen widgets.
Lock screen widgets, which until this week I kind of didn't care about.
Yeah.
I would say Photosphere, but that
things. Still don't.
Yeah, Photosphere doesn't count because it's not open.
There's a couple security bumps. Mm-hmm. You know, things like we saw today, the USB thing, that's new, but it's hiding developer settings, you know, little things. There's nothing you're missing by not having it. You know, really, all your apps are still going to work.
Nothing enough for them to warrant going through the trouble of pushing out updates to all these devices.
Yeah, look how hard it seems to be for them to get an update pushed out. They get one finished and get it pushed out, and then, oh my God, it's so bug-riddled that Google releases a point update for it the week after. They can't afford to go through that every month like Google can.
Do you think they take, like, at least a day off after? Like, do you think all the Android guys are going to take, like, next Monday off or something? I hope so.
I hope those guys are treated to a big, huge dinner somewhere, and they're all just lounging for a week.
And it's just a point release, too.
Yep. Just. But, hey, these point releases, tracking down these bugs is hard.
Yeah. It's the same old story. We sing this tune every year. You know, updates aren't easy. I think we'll keep singing that tune. That's not going to change anytime soon. So hats off to everybody doing them.
I look at the entire Nexus program. Everybody has their own definition of what it really means. Mm-hmm. I look at it as Google's final beta test. Phil, you've had all the Nexus devices. Name one that was stable out of the gate.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. But give them all 6 months, and they turn into really great phones.
That's why it kills me anytime somebody says, well, you should make a Nexus blank. You know, there should be a Nexus TV. There should be a Nexus, what was the one? The Nexus Google TV. Like, what the hell does that mean? You know, you use that word Nexus. You have no idea what it means, do you? You know, I mean, was Google TV itself not a Nexus? I mean, come on.
I just don't think that maybe, and oh my God, people are going to shoot me and my email box is going to explode. Maybe Apple does it right and it's a closed beta when they release the next generation out for people to test. And I hate saying that, but on the other hand, people that want it, we want the update so bad. We want it. We could just sign up and get it, but it just doesn't come out to everybody automatically because we're taking a Nexus 4 out of the box. And yes, it is a consumer device now, but it's still the very cutting edge of Google software and it's going to be full of bugs.
It's different expectations, I think. This is what it is. I mean, you see it. I've got all these Apple blogs in my RSS feed, and I see the posts go by every time there's a new iOS beta or there was a new OS X beta that drops to developers, and I see all these headlines, you know, a new one's dropped, and that's like the whole story. It's like, okay, I mean, so you don't really worry about it, but once, you know, once they release it, it's not 100%, you know, iOS 6.1 already has some serious issues, but
But,
I mean, it's just different, right? So
it's interesting because the way that Google does Chrome is they give you the option to choose the beta channel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I would like to see that done on Nexus phones.
That would be an interesting way to look at it, I think.
And then we all would sign up for the very bleeding edge, you know, the developer, not even beta. And then we'd complain about.
Exactly. We're all very entitled these days. And that's going to do it, I think. That was a good podcast. That was fun. It's good to be back. So, of course, we're going to screw it up. No, we will definitely have a podcast next week because we've got the HTC event on Tuesday, so we're going to need to talk about that. We're going to need to have a Mobile World Congress preview because we're leaving for that in 8 days. Yikes. I'm so not ready for that. So look for that. I'm not sure if we'll do it at the same time next week. We might do it a little early just to give me, you know, the evening with my family. Hope you all understand. But we'll definitely do something. So keep your ears out for that. Some other news. We've got, I think, 1 day left. If you're listening to this live or in the recorded version on Friday, I think we still have 1 day left in our massive Valentine's Day contest. I think we're up to 3 prize packs now. So if you haven't seen it, go in the forums. It's there.
Sweet. Just
post a picture of yourself and your loved one, because I was feeling all sappy. And we're going to pick, I think, either 3 or 4 winners. I need to check and see how much we're giving away. And you're going to win a Nexus 4 and a Nexus 7. I think we're throwing in some shirts. Maybe I'll find some Google Play gift cards as well. So you really, I can't say enough how much I've enjoyed this. And just seeing all the people's pictures and everybody's, it made me feel really good. It really did.
Right. It's nice to see that we're just like everybody else. I love to see just normal people in. It's great.
Let's be honest. Some of y'all are weird. I don't mind saying that.
Yeah, but
it's so much fun to see. Even my wife. And in fact, I think, Jerry, we're going to let Shannon pick them, if that's okay with you, because I think she wants to.
That's fine with me. She's cool. Probably better than either one of us at picking them, because we'd just look for boobs. You know how we are.
she's been looking over my shoulder every now and then. She's like, oh, that's so sweet. It's really nice. So that's going to wrap up on Friday. And we'll have some more cool stuff coming up as well. Anything else am I forgetting? Should I stick a fork in it? Should we wrap this up?
Oh, the Nexus 4 Lloyd cases are here.
Yes, Nexus 4 Lloyd cases are here. We've got them for the Galaxy Note 2, for the Galaxy S3, and for the Nexus 4. And that's all I know about right now, I think. Yeah, I can't think of any others, but as soon as we find out, I'll let you know. I'm also going to find out, since we'll have that Nexus 4 charging orb here tomorrow, if they work with that. Honestly, just have no idea, because we don't have the charger. So we'll see. So keep an ear out for that. And if you want to email us, podcast@androidcentral.com, we will get back on the email train soon enough, I promise. And you can get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral. I'm @PhilNickinson, Andrew Martonic @AndrewMartonic. Jerry is @GBHIL.
Close enough.
Search for our names on Google Plus, because Google Plus is far cooler than Twitter these days. I think there's so much spam on Twitter right now, it's horrible. At least on Google Plus, it's a little quieter and not DMing me all the time with, look, you're in this picture. Yeah, I'm not falling for that this time. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com, where you can get those awesome Lloyd cases and shirts and hats and pins and really cool stuff. Shopandroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158. That's 888-468-6158. And you can leave us a voicemail at that same number if you so desire. 888-468-6158 extension. This is important. Extension 222. Or you can just record it on your computer like a couple of the guys did tonight and send it in. That would be awesome. Hey, you know what it's been, Jerry and Andrew? It's been a long time since we've had any women leave voicemails. And that makes me sad.
Yes.
It's been several podcasts, I believe.
It's been a long time. We need ladies' night. I'm going to have to work on that. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. Guys, I know you have, you know, the occasional woman nearby when you're, you know.
Don't go out and, you know, capture one or
anything. No, don't. Just, yeah. That would be bad.
I knew they were on well.
But ladies, we know you're out there. And, you know, as much fun as it is to have a boys club, I like having girls around. I have 3 of them in my house. Can't get rid of them. I have to escape.
Have one of them calling.
Yeah, I should. From the other side.
You should totally have Mia leave a voicemail.
Oh, did I do that once? I thought I did. Oh, no, I used to have her do the intro to the podcast or something. We'll have to start that up again, too. After Mobile World Congress, we'll start having fun again. I promise. I say that now. All right, everybody, that's it. Thank you for a good podcast, and we will see you next week.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Andrew, you're supposed to say bye. Oh, God, see?
Horrible. Horrible. Can I stop recording anyway?
I didn't.